Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you on this Thursday, the 5th of November. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, three Zimbabwean journalists have been released on bail after being arrested for their coverage of a poaching story.
Elephants are being killed, they are being poisoned, and the journalists have done their duty, they've done their job, which is to point out the possible corruption within the security forces.
And Germany is seeking to intensify its talks with Namibia about its colonial past. Berlin has just appointed a special envoy.
I'm quite sure that we will discuss all the requests and all what was said from the Namibian side, the Herero side, and the Nama side, especially what they want to see in such a dialogue.
These stories and much more coming up in the next 25 minutes. Don't go away.
Top story.
A court in Zimbabwe has released on bail three journalists who are facing charges of publishing falsehoods after they wrote an article for a state-run Sunday newspaper linking a senior police officer to a massive poaching syndicate. Bail was set up at $100 for each of them. The three spent two nights in police custody, and their detention attracted swift condemnation from the rights group Amnesty International. From Harare, Columbus Mavunga reports.
The journalists leaving the courtroom after Magistrate Tendai Mawe ordered their release from custody. The court said state prosecutors had struggled to justify why Mabasa Sasa, Tendai Farao and Brian Chitemba should not be released on $100 bail each. The three journalists from a state-run Sunday paper had published a story about the cyanide poisoning of at least six elephants in the country's biggest national park of Wange. Foster Dongozi, Zimbabwe Union of Journalists Secretary General, has been following the arrest of the three journalists.
This is totally unacceptable behavior on the part of the police. The journalists have provided leads. There's a disaster, there's a calamity happening in Wange National Park. Elephants are being killed, they are being poisoned, and the journalists have done their duty, they've done their job.
Police arrested the three journalists on Monday. Rights groups are concerned about the implication of media freedom. Muleya Mwananyanda is Amnesty International's Deputy Director for Southern Africa.
These actions create a climate of fear in Zimbabwe and perpetuate impunity. Authorities must not target journalists. These arrests are a shocking attempt to threaten freedom of the press and come soon after senior government officials used threatening language against critical journalists.
Zimbabwe's police spokeswoman Cherry Charamba spoke to journalists after the arrest of the three journalists.
The editor and reporters of the Sunday Mail cannot be allowed to hide behind the privilege of journalism to peddle these falsehoods. They have a national duty to assist police identify the alleged culprits in order to get to the bottom of the matter instead of sensationalizing a serious matter.
Charity Charamba, Zimbabwe's police spokeswoman, ending that report by Columbus Mavunga. Now, Nyasha Nyakunu is the program's coordinator with the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa. He spoke to my colleague Mark Caldwell as regards to what it was that his organization finds particularly troubling about this case.
In this particular instance, our concern and our worry is that the police arrested and detained the three journalists because they want them to disclose the source of the story that they wrote. And we are saying that that is unconstitutional because the Constitution now explicitly provides for the protection of the confidentiality of journalist sources.
Why then are the authorities riding roughshod over that provision in this particular case?
Well, that's the question that they'll have to answer. But what we want is for them to not act with impunity, but as law enforcement agents, they should be in the lead in terms of adherence to the laws of the land.
dozens of journalists in Zimbabwe, mostly from private media, have been arrested in the past. Why state media journalists this time round?
We will know. But what we are always worried about is the arrests of journalists going about their lawful professional duties, regardless of whether they work for the private or state media.
Are journalists often arrested in Zimbabwe?
Yes, yes. We've had several such cases where journalists are arrested while conducting their lawful professional duties. Only last week or so, three other journalists working for the private media were arrested while covering a planned demonstration by the opposition MDCT in the eastern border town of Rusape, only to be released without charges.
So in other words, the purpose was presumably to intimidate them?
We can only assume that that is the intention, to deter or to cow journalists from shining their spotlight.
Have things got worse recently, or has there always been a steady stream of journalists who have ended up behind bars?
In the last 2 years, we've actually witnessed a decline in the number of cases involving the harassment or arrest of journalists. But what then emerged, which was worrying, we now had a situation where journalists were being assaulted and arrested or getting detained by security agents, be it members of the police force, the members of the municipal police. And that indeed is very worrying. It is very chilling. It has a chilling effect when the very same persons that are supposed to protect the journalists to ensure that they conduct their lawful professional duties unhindered are the very same persons that are attacking and harassing the journalists and deterring them from conducting their lawful professional duties. That is indeed very worrying.
Nyasha Nyakunu from the Media Institute of Southern Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
The German government has said it intends to intensify negotiations with Namibia about how to address the legacy of German colonial rule. It has just named a special envoy to the talks with the Namibian government. He is the veteran Christian Democrat Ruprecht Polenz, a former chairman of the German Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee. The talks with Namibia are exploring the acknowledgement of German guilt for the massacre of the Herero and Nama people just over 100 years ago, and may also address the subject of reparations. I spoke to Ruprecht Polenz how he intends to move the negotiations with Namibia forward.
We have had talks for quite a while between the Foreign Ministry of Germany and the government of Namibia. And now we are trying from both sides to get to conclusions with regard to our common past. And we want to identify, let's say, roads into the future, how to develop the German-Namibian relationship in the future. And of course, a reliable, positive relationship needs a common understanding of what had happened in history.
Many representatives of the Herero and Nama people have demanded for an official apology. Do you think the time has come for Germany to officially apologize to what happened 100 years ago to these people?
I'm quite sure that we will discuss all the requests and all what was said from the Namibian side, the Herero side and the Nama side, especially what they want to see in such a dialogue be addressed. And I do hope that we can find a way which is satisfactory to both sides. And I want you to understand that I have not just started my personal talks with my counterpart of Namibia. Therefore, I cannot start with some kind of premature information about the content.
And will the content that you're talking about include the issue of reparations?
We have, of course, to discuss the future relationship, and this includes and can include a lot of different things. I'm ready to first listen, you know. My first visit, which is now prepared, will mainly have the task for me to get to a better understanding via listening. I will not so much talk, I will listen and hopefully get first-hand impressions also from what I see in Namibia. I've never been in the country before. This is the first step. and then we will move forward. Of course, I know what has been negotiated and talked about so far. I attended the debates in the German parliament in the last years, especially in 2004. So I am familiar with the issues, but it is a difference if you are, let's say, part of a parliamentary debate in the past, or if you are now, let's say, some kind of special envoy to bring the relationship to a stable basis for the future.
Hubrecht Pollens. Dozens of people were killed when a cargo plane crashed on Wednesday shortly after taking off from South Sudan's capital, Juba. Police and rescue workers pulled bodies of men, women and children out of the wreckage of the Russian-built Antonov An-12 cargo plane. It was bound for oil fields in Upper Nile State. James Shimanyula has been following the story from Nairobi and spoke to Africa Link's Mark Ordwell.
From the aviation sources, it's believed that although it's yet to be confirmed that the plane may have been overloaded, but this, as I said, has to be confirmed by the highest authorities.
This was a cargo plane, but there were passengers on board. Is that usual or even legal?
First of all, it's not usual. It is illegal because over the years, transport in Sudan, South Sudan, is the biggest problem, especially when you want to deliver food or emergency aid or medical equipment to far-flung areas. Normally what happens, privately or illegally, passengers are put on such planes and they can fly from Juba right up to the place where the plane was going. Unfortunately, it crashed just a few minutes after takeoff. So it is illegal, and it is a common factor that passengers are carried.
South Sudan has been in a state of civil war for almost 2 years. Does that have any bearing on this incident?
No, I don't think, to the best of my knowledge. It would have been brought down as it nosed in the northern part of South Sudan, especially areas controlled by rebels in Upper Nile region, which is Riek Machar's stronghold. But from Juba, no. Security is very tight. You cannot bring plane even 25 kilometers from Juba or a radius of 30 kilometers or even 50 from Juba. No.
How quickly and effectively did the emergency authorities respond to this incident?
I gather they took time, but eventually they managed to reach there on time.
James Shimanyula telling us about the plane crash in South Sudan. And now another chance to hear the first episode of our new radio drama series and make way for the crime fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, a very warm welcome to our brand new series, Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey. Written by Pinado Abduwaba, with a special contribution from Nigerian writer Helon Habila. Our story takes place in the African country of Kululaland. And we start at the crowded Domingo shopping mall, where many young people meet to have lunch and socialize. As our story begins, terror has just struck. A bomb has just gone off in a cosmetic shop. The police have secured the scene while they gather evidence, and family members are waiting outside for news of their loved ones. The commissioner of police himself is there, along with two young officers, Inspector Brenda and Cadet Inspector Jude. Let's join them for our first episode, The Suicide Bomber.
Sergeant, make sure nobody comes in, only uniformed personnel, and keep the wounded on this side of the fence.
Sir, we've confirmed that it was a suicide bombing. The cosmetics shop was crowded.
5 people died along with the bomber. We're still counting the wounded.
The body parts we've collected, including the bomber's head, have been taken to the morgue for identification.
Excellent. Inspectors Brenda and Jude, I want you two to work with me closely on this case. This is the third bombing in 4 weeks. We have to get to the bottom of this. I saw the bomb squad on their way out. Do they have anything concrete yet?
So far, what we know is that it was an IED, an improvised explosive device. The bomber was wearing an explosive belt. From the samples we've collected, it contained gunpowder, dynamite, and ammonium nitrate, most likely fertilizer.
So it was locally made. What about the bomb belt? Does it match the others?
That's yet to be confirmed. We'll go to the morgue first, then we'll ask the bomb squad whether they have a conclusive result.
Very well. Off you go.
Sir, what we do know is that the suicide bomber was a woman, which is unusual, because as you know, it's generally men who carry out this sort of attack.
A woman? How strange. But it isn't the first time, and recent events seem to suggest that this could become a trend.
Excuse me, is anyone here?
Yes, right here, I'm coming.
Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm Inspector Brenda from the Takoka Regional Police Headquarters. And this is my colleague, Cadet Inspector Jude.
Hello.
We're here to see the remains of the suicide bomber.
Of course. Right this way, madam. Only the head is identifiable, I'm afraid. The rest of the body is in pieces. Here, if you're ready, I lift the cloth.
Oh, no.
Jude, are you okay?
I'll be fine.
I'm sorry. Give us a minute, please.
Don't worry. I see that in a lot of new officers.
Jude?
Brenda, I...
Come on. Be brave. You'll see a lot more of that in this job. But I do understand. It is your first time seeing a corpse. Or rather, half a corpse.
You don't understand, Brenda. I know her.
What do you mean you know her?
Her name is... was Zora. She was my girlfriend at university. But we broke up 3 months ago.
This is serious, Jude. I'm sorry. But it means we'll have to take you off the case. I'll speak to the commissioner right away.
No. No, Brenda. Please don't do that. Please. This case is an opportunity for me to get ahead in the force, don't you see?
I don't know, Jude. Let me think about it. Of course, the media are already onto it. It's all over the news. Jude, please, quickly, turn up the volume. Let's listen. We don't want them complicating issues in an ongoing investigation.
Okay, Brenda, where is the remote? Ah, here it is.
In a development believed to be unprecedented in Kululaland, the body of the suicide bomber at the Domingo Shopping Mall has been identified as 20-year-old Zora Kasim, daughter of the current Commissioner of Finance, Honorable Kasim. She had just graduated from Takoka University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Economics. The police say they have yet to establish any link between her and a terrorist group or any motive to suggest why she may have carried out the attack.
Okay, that's enough.
Inspector Brenda, Cadet Inspector Jude.
Sir?
How did it go at the morgue?
Very well, Mr. Commissioner.
I've just finished speaking with Honorable Kasim, the suicide bomber's father. He seems to have had no clue. He tells me he was very close to his daughter. Zora was the youngest child and the only girl. The others are all boys and much older. Honorable Kasim says he can't think of anything about her behavior that he even hinted she might do something like this.
Maybe it's too early for him to be sure. We'll have to go and question him again when he's taken it all in.
You're right. Honorable Kasim went home as soon as I broke the news. His wife is completely distraught. Jude, what's the matter with you? You are unusually quiet today.
Nothing, sir. I have a bad headache, that's all.
Make sure you take something for it.
Yes, sir.
Now, what kind of friends did the deceased have? You said you had managed to speak to someone?
Yes, briefly. Her closest friend is a girl called Patricia.
She said she hadn't seen Zora for a while. She's only just got back from a stay in our home village. We'll be interviewing her more thoroughly soon.
What about boyfriends, family members, lecturers, anyone we should be talking to?
We've spoken to three of Zora's former lecturers. They were all very shocked. They said she more or less kept to herself. She was one of the brightest students and got a first-class degree. We're hoping to speak to other family members once they've all been informed.
We need a more radical approach. What are we missing? Think. Think, guys.
Could it be that somebody forced her to go inside the mall wearing the bomb belt and then detonated it with a remote?
That's a possibility. Check with the forensics to see whether the bomb could have been detonated that way. Please get in touch with Honorable Kasim and let me know as soon as you have something new.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good Lord. Look at them.
Oh, don't worry, boss. I'll protect you.
Oh, these journalists. Impossible.
I'll get you to the house. Hey, you! Don't move any closer! Get back! You, get back!
Just one question. Is your daughter affiliated to Scambo, the warlord of the Sword Circle?
No comment.
How long has your daughter been a part of a terrorist organization?
No comment, I say.
No camera! No microphone! Get back!
No comment! Leave me alone! Oh, phew. What a day. Lado? Are you alone in the house?
Yes, I'm alone. Oh, Zora. My daughter has been taken from me. This is a tragedy.
Oh, calm down.
Leave me alone. I don't want to see anybody. What have I done? What sin have I committed? Why am I being forced to witness this atrocity? I'm finished. I'm finished.
Lado, you have to calm down. Don't make it any harder than it already is. People are watching us now to see how we react.
Is that all you care about? How people will react? Does it mean anything to you that your daughter has killed herself? Can't you ever see beyond politics and your own political ambition?
Lado, you have to watch your tongue.
You are unbelievable. Leave me alone. I don't want to speak to you right now. Don't come anywhere near me until I say so.
What do you mean, until you say so? We have to arrange the funeral. Lado! Lado!
And on that dramatic note, we end the first episode of our series, The Radical Journey. Join us again next time to see how the story continues. Until then, you can visit our website, dw.com/crimefighters, or join us for a discussion on Facebook. Bye for now.
And of course, here on Africa Link, you can hear the second episode of The Radical Journey this coming Monday. And before I leave you, a summary of our main stories that we've covered for the last 25 minutes. A Zimbabwean court has granted bail to three journalists accused of slander after they had allegedly implicated an unnamed top police officer in a poaching scandal. More than a dozen people were killed on Wednesday when a cargo plane crashed after takeoff in South Sudan's capital, Juba. And Germany is seeking to intensify its talks about its colonial past with Namibia. Berlin has just appointed a special envoy to that effect. We welcome your comments on this program either in an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. An email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. On behalf of the rest of the team, I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany.